This is Kent Clothier. If you are looking to improve your life, improve your business, and just get it all together, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Time Is Now podcast.
What's up, big man?
Not much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you taking the time out to do this shit. This is amazing. I appreciate the support. How's everything?
It's busy. That's all I can say. It's, kind of in light of everything going on, we've been busier than ever.
I love it. Absolutely.
Busy.
That's a good problem to have, right?
That's a great problem to have. Just hard to keep up, right?
Better than the alternative.
Absolutely better. Much better.
No, man, I'm glad you are making the time here for us today. What's the weather like in Buffalo?
It's gorgeous. 60 degrees today, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Hell yeah. It's nicer there than it is here. We got
It's gorgeous.
Cloudy skies and 65. So for everybody that doesn't know you, Chris is a business partner of mine. And I met Chris about a year and a half ago, and he's been, I'm going to let him do his own introduction here, but I just want to kind of make sure that everybody understands from my perspective. Chris is a very experienced real estate investor with he and his wife. They had a TV show at one point, but then he has become extremely passionate about, money, quite frankly, private lending, understanding the way money actually works, really doing deep dives. And then ultimately became very passionate about helping other people to understand the reality of money, right? I would venture to say that 99 out of 100 people watching this right now have no fucking concept of how the way money really, really works. And why am I very confident in saying that? It's because until I met Chris, I didn't fucking know. And I thought I knew a lot of shit and made a lot of money.
I'll never forget that day, ever.
Yeah. Bottom line is I sat in a room with Chris. I invited him to come out and do one of our two-day accelerator events to our boardroom mastermind. And when we do these events, we do deep dives on very specific topics. We had probably 20 people in the room. And as he started talking and I'm sitting there paying attention, I mean, a massive light bulb went off. Like, holy shit, I cannot believe how ignorant I have been. And that was not that long ago. I mean, that was basically 90 days ago, maybe 120 days ago. And as that happened, kind of the light bulb went off, right? Hey, man, well, we need to figure out a way to do something together. We need to figure out a way to go share this message. We need to figure out a way to kind of get this to the masses. And so I'm really honored that you're here. I'm excited of what you're going to share. If you would like, take about a minute, minute and a half, give everybody a little bit of your background, then let's just start going.
So, you know, I grew up in a real humble household. Biggest dream of my life was to be a pro snowboarder. And, you know, at 16, I ended up starting a clothing line in mom's basement. That clothing line turned into a chain of skateboard snowboard stores called Fat Man Board Shops, became the pro snowboarder. And then in the early 2000s, I had four stores going. Life was rocking, right? Pro snowboarder, got these, my lifestyle shops, skateboard, snowboard shops. When the planes hit the tower, I'd never seen a recession. I had no idea what that meant. And at that point, I was forced to have to get a job. So I was either going to deliver pizzas or find a real job. And I landed in the financial services industry thinking it was going to be temporary, but it ended up being something I just loved. And I rose right to the top. I became one of the top advisors in the firms that I was working with. And in 2006, I got into real estate, flipped my first house. It was a total mess, disaster, but I did it. And then in 2008, I got this great idea to develop a strip mall right when the bottom fell out of the market. You guys remember the Great Recession? Well, that thing hit me like a Mack truck at full steam ahead. When it hit me, it forced me almost to bankruptcy. My wife now, my girlfriend then, actually bailed me out, helped me pay the mortgage, the utilities, and allowed me to rent a bedroom out in the house, actually two. So we made it through, and then I just started buying real estate from 2009 to 2014. So I had a bunch of money in 2008, then I lost it all. Then from 2009 to 14, I got all the way back to 36 units, doing really well. Life was on track. And then all of a sudden the banks pulled the wool right from the carpet right underneath me. They basically said, we can't give you any more money because your debt to income ratio has exceeded your limits. And at this point, I had to sell all 36 units, my dream house that my wife and I had bought. And I was right back to where I was, created huge issues. And I had to figure out what the hell is going on in my life that makes me keep doing these same cycles. Have money and then you lose it. Then you get it back and you lose it again. Well, the problem was this. It was the misinformation I'd been fed my whole life about how money really works. The same thing I was taught as an advisor, go do this, do that. Well, it was all the big lie. And that's when I really started seeking out the information. That's when I met Greg Herlin. It's when I met all those guys, and what they were doing was the opposite of everything I'd been taught as an advisor. So from that point, I dove in, I started seeking the knowledge, paid a lot of money for mentoring, for coaching, things I didn't have money for that I did because I knew there was no other way. And I found out some secrets of the wealthy that I'd never been taught. And those are the secrets that we're going to talk about today. Those are the secrets that literally in 2014 changed my life for the rest of, as long as I'll be on this earth. Nothing will ever be the same because I learned that you can't give up control of your money the way we're taught. And that's what you're taught. Everybody's taught to give up control of their money their entire lives. You don't even know there's a problem. And I'm going to bring that problem to light today.
All right. Well, let's dive into it, brother. Let's get down here and let's start talking about kind of, you know, this will be a little different than most of the interviews I've done. Most of the interviews I've done, I've been kind of driving the entire time, but I'd like for you to kind of, you know, I don't want to go through your presentation per se, but I would like to.
No. I'm just going to
talk. Yeah. Let's talk about kind of walk people through kind of some of the myths and then let's kind of start bringing them around.
Some of the biggest myths that we have to discuss is really the fact that you've been taught your entire life to give up control of your money. Think about it. Like your entire life, you've been taught to do what with your money? Put it in 401ks, put it in retirement accounts, put it in banks. All the while, every time you're doing that, you're literally giving up control of your good dollars today. Your money will never be worth more than it is today, especially right now. A $2 trillion stimulus. I want you guys to understand something about a stimulus. When they do that, they just print money and it's creating money out of thin air. That money has to derive value from somewhere and it pulls money and the money pulls value from your current dollars. It's called inflation. It's nothing more than a hidden tax. So if your dollars are worth the most today, wouldn't it be nice to be able to use those dollars today? It would. But why do we give up control? Why do we put them in 401ks? Well, that's just what we've been taught. We put them in banks, and the banks don't even really pay us interest, but yet the banks go out and make 400 to 1300% on the money we leave there. And the other thing too that's really crazy right now is you have to look back in the past to understand what's going to happen here. I guess one of the things, you know, why I'm so excited, you know, I've been predicting a market fallout for quite some time now. And I was ridiculed a year and a half ago for pulling all my money out of the markets and telling people to do that. People said, you're nuts. The market's not going to slow down. It's going to keep going. And it did. It went up another 10 to 15%. And I was on the sidelines in cash, in control of my money when everybody else was making 10 to 15%. And you know what I say to that now? How long did it take for those people that were ridiculing me back then to lose 10 to 15%? One day, they lost what they waited a year for. And I was sitting on the side of the mountain or on the top of the mountain, really just looking out, just waiting for my entry point. And that entry point is right now. And that's the whole thing. When you understand where money is, when you understand how money works and you understand how to be in control of your money, this situation right now should be nothing more than an opportunity. Now, I understand there's a lot of people that see this as an obstacle, but this really should be an opportunity and you need to make a decision. Is this an opportunity or is this an obstacle? And a lot of people say, oh, it's an opportunity. But then when times get harder, they all of a sudden start thinking it's an obstacle. You need to draw that line in the sand right now and figure that out. And here's the deal. Let me just explain like the most important things. And you might have already heard this and hopefully I'm not repeating it. But if you've got lines of credit for your business or lines of credit that you are not tapping into, let's just say it's your home equity line of credit. God forbid you don't have access to your line of credit already. Like if you have a house that has equity in it right now, your primary residence, and you don't have a line of credit, I have to ask you, what are you thinking? That money is lazy money sitting on your couch doing nothing. Why aren't you using that money? And the answer most people tell me is, well, I don't know what to do with that. And the thing is it doesn't matter what you do with it. The thing that matters is if you have a line of credit or a home equity line, you need to understand if the banks get in hard times, they will freeze your line of credit. And your home equity line of credit, every single day, your house is becoming worth less and less and less money because the real estate values are going down. You guys have already talked about that. That's why we're in real estate. This is a buying opportunity. And if you aren't tapped into that money, then you're not going to have access to it pretty soon because the banks could and probably will freeze those lines, just like 2009. So what I did is I took all my lines of credit, every one I had available, and I liquidated them. I took all that money out and I took that money and then I spread that money around. I didn't keep it at the same bank. I moved it to community banks, to credit unions. I even sent some to mutually owned insurance companies, which we'll cover. I basically played the shell game because I don't want anyone to ever tell me I can't have access to my money. I don't know if any of you have gone to the bank and tried taking money out lately, like actually gone there. And if you got, you know, 20, 50, 100 grand in the bank and tried taking that out, the answer will be no. Like, how does that feel when you got 100 grand at the bank and you want to take your money out and the bank says, we can't give you all of it. We can only give you 1500 or 3000 or 5000. Well, right there, you should have an awakening knowing that you are not in control of your money. Well, that's what you want to avoid. So by spreading it out over a bunch of different banks, especially community banks and credit unions, not only are you protecting your money and being in control, you're also giving yourself the ability to start new relationships with the banks you need relationships with. Community banks and credit unions right now are going to be the way to go. So that's the first part of control. But even if you don't have equity in your house or you don't even have a house, I want you to think of this as not just for you, because it's not about your actual resources. It's about how resourceful you can be. Think about everybody else that has a house, that has equity in their house, and then they're struggling to pay their car payment. One of the biggest things we're going to talk about is really how easy it is to get money for your real estate deals or for your business, because it's really easy. It was a little harder when the markets were doing well because you were competing against Wall Street returns. Who are you competing against now? Money just went on sale. Literally, private money just went on sale because every single dollar that's been in Wall Street, guess what? They don't want it in Wall Street right now. They're scared to death. That money is going to flow somewhere safe. And I can tell you where it should go. It should go right to you, to your deal. You should be the beacon of hope, the light in the darkness for every single person you know. I don't care if these are your friends, your family, your coworkers, anybody in your primary circle that trusts you, that knows you, you need to start telling them how you can solve their problem. Folks, right now, everybody's got a problem and everybody's got the same problem, and that is fear. They're all scared of what's going to happen tomorrow. They're being laid off. They're being let go from their jobs. They don't know how they're going to make their next car payment, their next child's tuition payment. They don't even know how they're going to make their mortgage payments. But you know what the best part is about what we do as real estate investors? You all hold the ticket to solve their problem. You literally can solve that problem. So instead of going out and asking for money, why don't you go to people and start telling them how you, through your opportunity, your deal, can solve a problem. And that problem is easy to solve. Go to them and say, hey, what if I could show you how to have your house pay for your car payment? That's an easy conversation to have, and they will give you 10 to 15 minutes of their time. If you structure it that way and you say, instead of saying, hey, I got this deal and I'm looking for a private lender or I'm looking for a partner, they're like, eh. But if you go to them and you say, hey, I have an opportunity where I can show you how your house, your house you live in, will pay for your car payment and maybe even your wife's car payment too. Can we spend 10 minutes together? And then you just explain how that happens. So your deal, the tangible asset that you have, that real estate deal, that isn't going to zero. Stocks can go to zero. They will happen. You will see stocks go to zero. I guarantee it. And right now, like, you're seeing a little pop in the market and that's giving people hope, but it's all speculation. That market's not going to stay up like it is right now. Matter of fact, I see the market going to 15 to 16. So when people say, oh, I think the market's going to do better, what you should ask them is, well, what happens if it doesn't? What happens if it falls another 20 to 30%? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you going to be able to handle what comes next? If the answer is no, then you know you need to help them. And you can by just talking to them about giving them a fixed return on their money. They all need your help. So be a problem solver and you'll flourish. I've made an entire career out of it. Literally, I wrote the damn book on money and the private money. This whole book talks all about solving people's problems. So then I guess you would ask, where is all the money? You know, where do I start? Well, we already talked about lines of credit and home equity lines of credit, which I call hidden equity. But what about retirement plans? Now, Greg, who's my partner, Greg Herling, was on, and he was talking about self-directed IRAs. But where does the money that flows to self-directed IRAs come from? Usually employer-sponsored retirement plans, 401ks, 403bs. Like, Kent, how many people do you know that have employer-sponsored plans and they put all their money in these retirement plans?
I mean, the vast majority, right? I mean, that is clearly what happens.
It's like 44 trillion sits in employer-sponsored plans, because that's what we've been, you know, taught to do. Put your money in the 401k, then at 59 and a half, we can take that money out. We pay taxes on the money then. You're literally giving up your good dollars today to be paid back with weaker dollars later, because those dollars later, number one, inflation hit them. Number two, they're taxed. And taxes, I don't think, are going any cheaper than they are right now. You know, so these are what we do. So if people have money in their 401ks, let's just pretend that they're still working. and you got an opportunity and you want to solve their problem. And their problem is they're losing a ton of money in their 401k and they don't know what to do. They want the pain to go away. So you go to them and you say, well, hey, I don't know if you heard, but in the CARES Act, this new government stimulus program, I don't know enough about it, but in that program, do you know that they allow you to now take $100,000 out of your 401k in the form of a loan? It used to only be 50. Now it's 100. So now we got the ability to access $100,000 in people's
without a penalty, by the way.
No penalty, none. Absolutely. They have literally taken down all of the barriers that we always had to deal with. And, right. and it's phenomenal because right. their money's losing money in their 401k. And these people don't want to lose money and they don't know the answer to stop it. The answer is take a loan. And on that loan, what you, every one of you need to understand is you are then going to pay that loan payment back for them. I said that right. So they're going to take a loan for $100,000. You have the opportunity that's going to facilitate that. Okay. And there's some things you need to understand about that. You got to protect their money because people don't just want a return on their capital. They also want their capital returned. So when you take people's money, be smart enough and be, you know, ethical enough to make sure that you have a way to get their money back. It's called an exit strategy. I don't really want to go into that today. But if they take a loan from their 401k, here's what they need to understand. First off, they need to understand that money has to be paid back. And out of their paycheck, whether it's weekly, biweekly, or, you know, monthly, however they get paid, every time they get paid, money's going to come out of their paycheck to pay that 401k back. What you would do is say, you know what, I know you have to pay this back and the interest, you're going to pay interest on that money too, but the interest that you're going to pay on that loan to your 401k, that goes back into your 401k. So literally, like right now they're losing money. If they take a loan and they loan that money to you in a private deal secured by the real estate in a first position, and you make those payments back to the 401k, you are literally almost giving them a 5% return. Whatever the interest is that their 401k charges them on that loan, you're paying that back for them. But then be a good person, do one step further. Pay them an additional 5%, which means you'd be giving them 10% for their money. That other 5%, that's money that's going to give them, pay for their car. Or the other problem people have right now is when this is all over, I think every one of you can agree that you're sick of being home. I mean, I'm sick of being in this office because I'm the only one here in 8,000 square feet. My wife has been at home and has not left because she's pregnant. We're all sick of being home. So when this is done, people are going to want to go out to dinner again. They're going to want to take vacations again. You hold the key to providing the money so they can actually take their family out to a nice dinner. You hold the key to give them the money to take a nice vacation. That money that they gave you for that loan, that $100,000 loan from their 401k, don't just pay it back. Give them an extra 5% and let them use that money to do whatever. We call it mailbox money. So that's the first thing, 401ks. You can tap into them.
Let's just talk about something real quick here because I think that's really powerful, is that a lot of people are very apprehensive about approaching friends, family, neighbors, whoever, about money. But I love the idea of talking about benefit as opposed to talking about real estate, right? Right. And that's probably a key thing that everybody needs to pick up on here, right? So what Chris is telling you here is that you know, one, you have to understand their pain, right? Which I think is really, really important. By the way, we're going to have giveaways here. Chris, you've got that book that we're going to give away.
Everybody's going to get the audiobook of this.
Every single person that comments, we're going to send that book. We're going to give everybody access to that. So make sure that you go in there and comment, even if it's just hello, even if it's good stuff or hell yeah, or Chris is the man. I don't give a shit, right? But make sure that you're commenting there. Second thing is, so one, you have to understand their pain, right? And the pain is that everybody's going through the same kind of thing, right? Two, the next thing you have to be able to do is address their pain by talking to them about benefit. They have a 401k, they have a retirement plan that is effectively, if it's invested in stocks, is going to shit or has gone to shit.
Has gone.
And is in large part that made them at a minimum where they don't feel really great, right? And so being able to come to them and say, hey, I understand what's going on in the SBA loans. I understand, hey, if you've actually gotten laid off, I can guide you on how to move your 401k or that retirement plan to a self-directed plan over at Horizon Trust. And then you're in complete control. And so you're being, to your what you said earlier, a beacon of hope, right? You're showing them a way not only to get it over into a place where they can control it, but even if it stays in their employer plan and they still are employed, you're showing them a way that they can take money out of it and get a higher return. And in turn, now we're still not even talking about real estate. We're talking about, let me show you how to make your car payment you know, out of this kind of plan, right? So it's a very clever way to at least introduce a conversation, which I love that. That's great stuff, dude.
Yeah. And I think the big mistake a lot of people make when talking to people about money is they do just that. They talk to people about money and everybody's scared to talk about money. You know, most people are afraid to ask for money, which, you know, I get it. Like, it's not a comfortable thing. So don't do it. Stop doing that. Just like Kent said, like, just solve problems. Everybody right now has the same freaking problems. And every one of those problems, you have the ability to solve that. It's not about your real estate deal. It's about you. It's about your relationship and your ability to solve that problem. So if you, and you know your friends, your family, your coworkers, they trust you. So if they understand that you are somebody that can help them with their problem, that's all they need to know. The fact that real estate is the underlying thing that's going to secure it, that's the third most important thing. Number one, it's about you and your trust. Number two, it's about your ethics and your honor, you know, being honorable with what you're going to do. The third thing is the deal. We got to structure the deal and show them how the deal will solve that. But that's the last thing. And that's probably the least important thing to them right now, because all they want to know is, how do I stop this pain? How do I make my car payment next month? When I go through this stimulus check, then what? Well, you know what? Then what? You are the savior. You're the light in the darkness. You are the only person right now that can solve that problem for people. But if you're not talking to them about their problems, if you're not talking to them about what you can do to help them, shame on you. Seriously, like, I'm saying that. Like, if you're not showing people how you, with what you do, can solve problems, shame on you. You should absolutely be ashamed of yourself for not having that conversation, because people are going through hell right now. People are going through, and some people are going through one of the hardest periods of time that they've ever had in their lives. Other people, this is bringing back awful memories of 2009. But in 2009, I didn't make the right mistakes or the right decisions. Therefore, I almost went bankrupt. You are not going to go bankrupt, because you're not going to make the same mistakes. Right now, you have to go out there and you have to start talking about this. And if you don't, number one, you're not going to have money for your deals. Number two, you're not going to help people. And isn't that the best thing you can do right now, is go out and help people? And I don't mean just helping seniors get food and doing nice things. I mean, helping people with something that will tangibly and really solve their money problems right now.
Well, I think it's really important, right? And I just want to stress this. And I want everybody to hear me loud and clear on what Chris just said here, that if you are an experienced real estate investor, right, or an experienced business person, period, and you have a solution like this that you can provide, and you struggle with, I'm not comfortable talking to people about money, let's just reframe it, which is what Chris was talking about right here. You have a moral and ethical responsibility to do that. It is absolutely irresponsible and reckless. And quite frankly, I would go as far as if you need to elicit pain, right? Because we make decisions based out of pain or pleasure. If you need to associate it with pain, you're a piece of shit if you don't do this.
I would agree. I would agree.
You have to go talk to people about this, because that you are a guiding force. You can absolutely help people in a very, very real way. How dare you not talk to them? And if that's the kick in the ass you need to get out of your own head and go do this, well, then so be it, because this is really, really important. Keep going, brother. You're killing it.
Yeah. And that's exactly, like, I love that. Like, I get mad because people are constantly like, oh, I don't know if I can talk to them. Well, you know what? If you don't know if you can talk to them, then go in front of your mirror and start practicing right now. Stop waiting. If you're too scared to talk about it, go practice. Look at yourself in the mirror and seriously say, how can I help people? How can I help them solve their problems? And keep saying it in the mirror until you feel comfortable. Rehearse it. Listen, the first time you do anything is difficult. I mean, you guys remember the video, if you didn't watch mine, it's called The Backward Bicycle. Watch that video, The Backward Bicycle on Google. It'll change the way you think about everything. The first time is the worst time, but the more times you do this, and if you do it with the right place, if you come from a place of dignity and a place from your heart to help people, it's totally different. You should never be ashamed or even nervous about talking to people about this, because they don't have the answers. You do. And you're going to even have more answers when you read this book. It's going to show you where not what we're talking about, where all the money is for all your deals and how to structure your deals and how to present it. But you got to go out there and do this. Like, after, it would really kill me to know that after I get done doing this and after I do all these, that people just take this knowledge and they just sit on it and say, wow, that was really cool. But I don't think I can do that. The hell you can't do that. Matter of fact, you better fucking go do that. You better go out and help people, because they need your help and their money and their livelihood and their retirements and their kids' tuitions and their car payments rely on you. And now that I've just put that giant weight on your shoulders, let's go one step further. So a lot of people are losing their jobs right now. Okay. And I know Greg covered this in depth, but I'm just going to reiterate it. When they lose their job, they have to go in and they have to pack up their office. They take their belongings, their swing line stapler, and the picture of their family. But what most people don't know is how to take their money. They leave their money at their old employers, and it's a shame because that money is literally just flying out there. It's high fees, and they don't know what to do. If you just explain to them, hey, I know a guy, this is where you don't even need to be the expert. You just say, listen, I know you just lost your job. Did you do anything with that 401k money? Because that, you need to understand that, like, that's probably the worst thing you could have left there. And they say, no, I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I don't even know how to react. I know a guy. And then you just send him over to Greg and Greg's team, and that money rolls into a self-directed IRA. And here's how you have that conversation. Wouldn't it be nice? And this is what you say. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you are 100% in control of your retirement money? Wouldn't that be nice? Because when you're in control of your money, it's a beautiful feeling. No one else can determine what happens to that money. Nobody else can take that money from you. Nobody else can lose that money for you except for you. When you're in control.
Most people that are sitting in corporate 401ks literally they've never even heard the word self-directed. They have no idea that concept even freaking exists, which is so frustrating because it's common knowledge for us. But you'd be shocked. I mean, everybody that's watching this right now, if you talk to friends and family around that, I mean, I had this experience with my own mother and stepfather that when they retired and they had their money in the retirement accounts, they had no idea that this concept was even a thing, right? It is very common for us, but to 99% of the people out there, I guarantee this is not even a concept that they even not only do they not understand it, they've never even heard it. So this is, when you speak to them about this, like what you're talking about, Chris, it's all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, I can actually control my money. It's like the gift from God right here.
Yep. And they don't know. And let me tell you why they don't know. So it's important, you know, when someone says, well, I've never heard about those, how come I'd never heard about this? Well, I was an advisor for 16 years at a high level. I knew all about self-directed IRAs. I was forbidden to talk to my clients about it. It was called selling away. I could acknowledge that I knew about them, but I couldn't sell them, and nor would I have ever because I couldn't get paid on them. You have to understand a lot of what happens out there when you give up your money to an advisor or a financial company. No disrespect to advisors, but this is the truth. When you give up that control, their job is to sell a product or charge a fee. And if they can't make money on something, guess what? They're not telling you about it, or their company's not teaching them about it. Sometimes they just don't know. Like the infinite banking concept, the banking systems that I do you realize that 99%+ of every single advisor and insurance agent out there has no idea that you can build a banking system like the Rockefellers using mutually owned insurance companies and that you can be in full control? People don't even understand this exists. Matter of fact, they think that it's some Ponzi scheme when it's been around for 200 freaking years. But that's just the whole point. Your people that you're talking to, the problems you have to solve for these people, they don't know the answers. You might because you're in this circle. You are privy to this information because you were seeking out the knowledge. The average person is not seeking out the knowledge. They're just going about their job. They come home and then they go back to their job. It's trading hours for dollars. You're not doing that. They are. Teach them something and they will respect you more than you'll ever know, especially now. So when they lose their job, show them how to take back control. Show them and explain that a self-directed IRA is no different than a regular traditional or Roth IRA, except for you are now in control of everything with that money. And then show them how that control can result in a 8, 10, 12% return for them in your deal. That's how easy this really is. And the other place that money exists, and I love having this talk. So you heard me mention mutually owned insurance companies. Well, you guys have all heard of whole life insurance, right? Well, there's a lot of people out there, forget about how we use whole life because it's totally different, but there's a lot of people out there that their whole lives, they've had permanent life insurance and they've been making premium payments into this, and every premium payment, they build up some cash value. Nobody even knows they can take that cash value out. Most people that have these permanent life plans, they don't even know that they can take money out. So now they've got the problem. They don't know how they're going to pay their bills. They don't know how they're going to do whatever, how they're going to afford to have somebody deliver food that they much need because they're too scared to go to the grocery store. And then they've got all this money sitting in this life insurance plan, and they don't even know they can take it. You just tell them, hey, look, you can take a loan from your life insurance, and that money right there, we can put that money to work for you, and we'll pay you a payment of 8 to 10% on that money. That's everyday people have these. And these are the people that don't even know that they can use it. And I know, how do I know this? Because remember, 16 years I sold these things. And I can tell you right now, none of the people that I sold those old whole lives to even take money out of them. The people that I do the banking systems for, every one of them are taking money out because they understand that they have to use that money. But that is literally, and I have talks with this at every single billionaire boardroom I'm at. We discuss one of the biggest untapped potentials for money for every one of our deals is right there in insurance policies. It literally, there's so much money there. And these people don't know how to use it. So show them how to actually solve that problem by using money they didn't even know they could use. Some people don't even know they can take loans from their 401ks. That's how little people know about money out there.
Well, it's easy. You know what it is to your point, like if you start a new job, hey, you want to participate in the 401k program? Boom. It's just like, it's like we've all done it. Literally, we've all done it. Whether you're working with a financial advisor, right, you're signing a bunch of documents, you're getting as much information that makes you feel comfortable without always understanding the details in there. And to your point, in these particular situations, it ends up being hundreds of thousands of dollars and sometimes millions of dollars that are going into 401ks, they're going into life insurance policies, whatever the case may be. And we look at it for one benefit. Like you and I talked about the whole infinite banking concept. And
yep.
And I literally, you know, call it 120 days ago, had no clue that this was even a thing, that you could literally go and get a whole life policy and turn around and use it as the way the Rockefellers used it or continue to use it, and the way almost every, you know, extremely wealthy family or individual family office, this is the way they use banking. One of the things that got me, I want to talk about infinite banking here for a minute, because this is when the light bulb went off for me, dude. When you, when you talked about, and I actually went and did my own research, right? When you talked about the fact that banks, because I've always, you know, I've always noticed the same thing, that everybody in a bank is a fucking vice president, right? And I never knew why that was, right? And your point was, is that the banks have the ability to go and write insurance policies and present it as a benefit to their executives. By the way, this happened to me when I was running, you know, the $2 billion company in Florida. I will never forget this. They came to me and said, hey, as a benefit to you, we're going to take, I think it was $1 million policy, a policy out of my life, and we're going to just give you and your wife at the time, $100,000 in life insurance. So if you got, you're going to get $100,000. This is super cool. You're going to love this. It's amazing. To me, it cost me nothing. I didn't care, right? I had no idea what they were doing. I was like, cool. They just gave me $100,000 in life insurance. What they were really doing is that they were using this banking system to go and effectively pay a premium on my life that they can then borrow the money back against, get a guaranteed 4% return on the money, right?
And every penny they ever put into it, you know, even if they take the money out, they still made money, right, on every penny.
So if I put, let's just, you know, and I'm going to let you really get down deep, but I'm just from a layman. This is when light bulbs started going off. It was like, okay, so if I put $100,000 into a life insurance policy on Kent Clothier's life, right? I can take that money right back out, okay, with some, you know, requirements, but I can get the money right back out in real cash. And then I will get a guaranteed 4%, like the $100,000 is still sitting there, but it's really in my fucking hand, right? So I get to go do whatever the hell I want to, and the government, I have a guaranteed 4% coming my way. And so I was like, holy shit, this is insane that this is real. It's so crazy, it doesn't even seem real. Then I was like, well, that's what they were doing for me. And then you're like, well, that's what banks do with all their employees. And in fact, if you'll go, and I will never forget this, Kent, go look at the balance sheets of Bank of America. Go look at the balance sheets of Wells Fargo. See how much, what they carry on their balance sheets in assets for life insurance, and see what they carry on their assets for real estate. And I will never forget it. You're like, they're going to carry three times, maybe even four times as much on their balance
sheet. Four times.
That they do in real estate. So I go look at Wells Fargo. Sure enough, there's $8 billion on Wells Fargo's balance sheets in their recent 10K. And I look at it, and there it is, $8 billion. Life insurance was $24 billion. Bank of America was something like $9 billion and $30 billion. Yep. Right?
Bank of America is one of the biggest.
So this concept, and by the way, they're just stacking money by carrying these types of policies. And there's literally nothing that keeps any of us from doing the exact same thing. I know this is something that you teach. I know it's something you're very passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I would love to get into it. I mean, dude, we got, you know, 20 minutes here. It's only,
we got to get into it then.
We could do this. And I mean, we did this basically for 2 days in Las Vegas. We probably should sign, we should probably create an entire webinar, just play it here at a future time. But I want to talk about it a little bit conceptually so people understand it here and they get excited about it.
So like, that's the whole thing is if banks own that much whole life insurance, you have to ask, well, why is it that they own more whole life than they do in real estate and all the buildings they own? It's either because they're stupid or they know something we don't know. Well, that's what they know. They know that if they put money into these whole, and just to be clear, I just want to full transparency. This is not your normal whole life that you go to the life insurance store and you buy off the shelf. This is not the, not even close to the same thing that you've ever seen when it comes to whole life insurance. This is a very specially designed whole life that is built for banking. They call them BOLI or COLI in the corporate and the banking world. And it allows you to do exactly what Kent just said. You put money into it like you do a bank account, but let's talk about how you deposit money, right? Right now, you go to the bank and you deposit money in the bank. And let's just say your bank pays you 1%, which would be gracious right now. They pay you 1% on your money, which is great. You're earning 1% on that money. But what happens next week when you go back and you take that money out of the bank? Your interest, your compound interest stops right at that moment, right? It is interrupted by you taking that money out. So right there, that's the same with 401ks. That's the same with every investment account. It's great when it's there, if it's not losing money. It's great when it's there making money, but if you take it out, it all stops, which seems like a terrible place to put money. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a place where you could put money, you could earn uninterrupted compound interest, the stuff that Albert Einstein calls the eighth wonder of the world, you could earn uninterrupted compound interest. And what is that rate? Kent just said it, 4% guaranteed, plus in mutually owned companies, they give you a dividend. So if you're with a company like Mass Mutual, you're earning 6.2%. on your money, just sitting there, which is great. But then what if you want that money? You know, you're one of your mailers goes out and somebody calls you back and says, I really need to sell that. Is that offer still on the table? And you say, well, it was, but now it's 20% less. All right, I'll take it. Great. Now you need some cash. But if you had your money over there and you then took your money out, you just lost the earning potential of that money. But not in insurance companies. And in these specially designed plans, every penny you put into that will earn that 6.2%. And then if you take that money out, you're not actually taking your own money. And this is why the banks do this. You're taking the insurance company's money. The insurance company is making you a loan from their general account. And they are still paying you 6.2% on every penny you ever put into that banking policy. But yet you now have all the money. You have all the money right there in your hands and you can go buy that real estate deal or do whatever the hell you want with that money. And then all you need to do, like this shows here, is if you did that, it would just make a lot of sense that you treated your money the same way that you treat the bank's money. And how do you treat the bank's money? Well, if you go to the bank and you take a loan out from the bank, the bank is going to then mandate that you pay monthly payments or some type of a payment back to the bank with interest. And we're like, okay, great. I need the money. So that's the exchange, right? You need the money. In exchange, you're willing to trade that for a monthly payment, which includes interest and the bank's winning because the bank is making all the interest. But what if you just changed one thing and then all of a sudden you could get all the interest? And that's all this is. This entire system involves you to change one thing. And that's where the money goes first. So instead of putting your money in a conventional bank, you put your money in one of these banking policies. Then what you do is you immediately, so Kent was mentioning like the banks. When the banks make a deposit, the second that check clears with the insurance company, guess what? They can take that money out. They can take a loan from that policy and they can go use that money and still make interest on that. You can do the same thing. So you put your money in the banking policy. You immediately, in the first 30 days, when your check clears, you take that money back out and you just put it right back in your bank account. Okay, your regular conventional bank account. And then from that regular bank account, you go and you do whatever it is. You buy cars, you pay off credit cards, you buy real estate, you do whatever you want with it. And then once you do that, you have to then think of your money the same way you think of the bank's money, which is you pay the bank back every single month with check or with interest. It's how you buy cars, isn't it? It's how you pay credit cards, isn't it? Well, if you took that money from your banking policy and you paid off a credit card, well, whatever you were paying that credit card, let's say it's $100 a month, why don't we then take that $100 a month we used to be fine giving to Visa, Amex, and Discover, and why don't we pay that money back to our banking policy? What we're doing by doing that is it's called recycling and recapturing your money. You are literally putting that money back to work, okay, back to work, and then you are getting immediate control of that. Every penny of that $100 you just put back in your banking policy now can be redeployed the next day when that check clears. So you just keep doing this circle. Folks, all you're doing here is you're literally mimicking exactly what the bank does every single day. But the bank is using your money, okay? They're using your money and they're doing this and they're making 400 to 1300% on every penny you deposit there. So you can do the same darn thing, but it's going to be you using your money, except for you're going to leverage your, you're going to leverage the insurance company in doing this because they're going to continue paying you interest. But then, you know, people are always like, yeah, but Chris, if we just keep taking loans from our banking policy, don't we have to pay the loans back? And that's because your whole life you've been conditioned that when you take a loan, you have to pay that loan back. But in this case, the insurance company contractually obligated and made a promise to you. And that promise was someday when you graduate or you die, the insurance company promises to pay your beneficiaries a death benefit. Just like Kent was mentioning, his was $100,000, but remember that that bank bought a $1 million policy. They're just giving, you know, when Kent, you know, graduates, they're giving his family $100,000. They're keeping $900,000 tax-free. Okay. So if you started taking loans and you just kept taking them and taking them and taking them, all you never have to pay these loans back because someday when you graduate, there's a death benefit that has to be paid out contractually. And all the insurance company is going to do is say, okay, great. You had $500,000 in loans and we have $1 million death benefit. We're just going to take the 500 from the million. Your family gets 500,000 and that loan is washed. Because remember, insurance companies don't think like you and I. They think in 100-year blocks. They don't care whether you use the money today or they got to pay it out in 100 years. It doesn't matter to them. So all they do is you're literally just leveraging your death benefit. That's all you're doing. You don't have to pay the loans back. It's single-handedly one of the most powerful things I ever learned in my life. 16 years in Wall Street at a high level, they never showed me this. They taught us all about whole life, how to sell life insurance. They never told us about this. We knew that banks use this, but we had no idea why. Until when I learned that, just like Ken, I had that moment where I was pissed. I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. This is what we could have been telling our clients about. How many people could I have helped during those years, 16 years, if I just knew that one thing? And I didn't know it. And they don't teach it because to do this, the advisor or the insurance agent has to take between a 60 and 90% cut in their commission, which also means the brokerage that they work for has to take a 60 to 90% cut. Why in God's name would any business teach their sales force to go out there and make 60 to 90% less? You know what the answer is? They don't, which is why you've never heard of this, because nobody can make money on it. But you know who does know about this? Every single multimillionaire, every single billionaire, just like Ken said, the family offices, they know this, they use this, they've always used it, they call it privatized banking. And to them, they're just like, well, I can't believe you don't know about this. Now, they know about it because their advisors don't get paid a commission and they don't get paid a fee, they just get paid a retainer. So therefore, they just go out and they find the things that work for their client to solve the problem. This will solve your problems. This will pay your debt off. This will get you all the money back for every single car you're ever going to buy, drive, and own. And this will be the bank you will use to fund your deals, to loan money to other real estate investors. I use mine to loan money out. Think about this. Let's just say you had these banking systems and you put your money in there instead of the 401k, or you put your money in this instead of your savings accounts, and you built up some money and someone came to you and presented a great opportunity to you. And you're like, well, this is great. And they need money. And then you just took a loan from your banking policy and you lent it out at 12%. Let's just use 12% because that's what I loan money at. You lend it out at 12%. Now, didn't I already say I'm still making 6.2% on my money, even though I lent it out at 12? But then what I do is I take that 12% interest check that I get every single month and I put it right back in my banking policy. And then when that deal pays off, they sell it or they refinance it, I take and I put whatever I can back in the banking policy, but there's always some left because I can't put more than what I took out back in. So what do? I take that extra. I can either go and use it, buy a new car. My wife likes shoes and bags. So buy her bags and shoes, or I go and start my second branch office. I start another banking policy. This gives you the ability to be in full control of your money. It gives you the ability to use that money while you're living. And it gives you the ability to create a cash flow on your money while still maintaining control and maintaining uninterrupted compound interest. And it protects your life and your family by giving you a legacy. I mean, there is not another, you might like try to poke holes in this, but do what Kent did, go research this. Like you might listen to this and be like, this sounds too good to be true. And it should, because it's what I said. When I heard this from Mike Baird, I was like, that sounds way too good to be true. That can't be. And I know what this is. I can't imagine what you're thinking when you're hearing this. So well, go research
let's
it.
I'll talk about that for a second, because I think that's a really, because normally when you do this presentation, mm-hmm. I know that you start with a video that I've probably shared 1,000 times since then.
Backward bicycle.
The backward bicycle, which I will actually go grab that link and put it in the comments. And I want every single one of you to go watch this YouTube video, because if you're sitting there right now, which I know a lot of you are, you're sitting there like, this cannot be true. There's no fucking way this is real. How? Or first off, it's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Second, I want you to understand that that is the way your brain has been programmed to believe, right? John Assaraf was talking about this on one of our very first calls here last week. But if you go watch the backward bike, what conceptually he's talking about, they take a bike and basically we've all heard the saying, you know, it's like riding a bike, right? You just don't ever forget. But what if you changed one thing, right? And the way what he changed on the one thing was, if I turn the bike left, it goes right. And if I turn the bike right, it goes left. And most people will sit there and tell you, well, I'll figure it out. I can ride it. It's a bike. Of course I can ride it. And what he proves there is that your brain is not designed to do that. Your brain creates synapses, which basically goes right to what you've always been taught your entire life, right? And in order to change the way you think about things, you have to basically practice. You have to really immerse yourself. And John was talking about this the other day, that you really have to immerse yourself to understand something like riding a bike that is programmed to go be exactly opposite of the way you've done it your entire life. And his whole thing is, I guarantee you cannot ride this bike, right? But after 8 months, this guy figured out how to actually ride the bike. What happened is his brain finally made the connection. It's like, oh shit, I've learned something new and I've got it, right? And it's just like learning a language. It's just like something else that when you finally learn a new language, it all of a sudden it pops, right? And it just becomes secondary to you. But getting there is fucking brutal. This is the same thing. You have literally been programmed your entire life with every transaction from the time you were 5 years old and you were a child and you were with your mom or dad and you were driving up to the bank teller and making the deposit and they were sending the freaking lollipop back through the chute to you, right? You've been taught this whole thing your entire life of the way fucking banking works. And it's just not real. It is the way, it is a reality. It does not have to be your reality, right? And this is as real as it gets, ladies and gentlemen. And when you learn it, I mean, I can tell you, Chris will tell you that we were no more out the door when he made this presentation at my event in Vegas. And I was on the phone with him on Monday morning, right?
It was literally, I was like, wow, that was fast. That escalated quickly.
On Monday morning, and I was extremely excited about, holy shit, this is no joke. And I spent a week kind of doing my own due diligence. And once I understood really the power of what he's talking about right here, and this is a guy that's been in business for 30 some odd years. And I think I know a lot of stuff about money and how to make a lot of money. And I didn't know shit. And I can tell you that I'm in that learning process right now. I'm excited about it. And I think everybody that's watching this should get really, really excited about it, because this could be not only a key element for you, but a key element for a lot of people around you on how to change their life in a dramatic way, which is the thing we talked about from the very beginning. But you've got another book that really talks about this concept right here, the money multiplier. And
yep.
Right?
Mapping out the millionaire mystery. So this book was just came out last week. We're selling the crap out of it because it's been highly anticipated. Let me just kind of read a little caption on the back. What if you could get all the money back for every purchase you ever made and create wealth through your own debts and expenses that you already have? If you're like most Americans, you've spent your entire adult life paying the banks, your creditors, and your expenses. And at the same time, you've watched your retirement funds and legacy dramatically fluctuate or evaporate in the markets. I wrote this book before this crash. You've been taught to give up control of your finances and assume risk, and it's costing you your financial freedom. The wealthiest people know differently. In Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery, the book expands on a 200-year-old strategy used by the wealthiest Americans to eliminate debt, grow their wealth, minimize taxation, and leave a legacy. We do that by showing you in this book how to build your wealth, keep your money, keep the money in your family, pay off your debt and expenses, but how to recycle and recapture money the same way the banks do. And then it goes on just to say, without working any harder, any longer, without giving up control, today everything changes because today you become the bank. I want to give 5 people a signed copy of this book today. And all you guys need to do, you want to come up with a way to do it?
The five people, I want 5 questions and I want them right now. But if we call out your question, then we will make sure that you get that book directly from Chris. As he just mentioned, it is just come out. I mean, kind of newly released here.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, and going like crazy. And I want to make sure that we get it into the hands of people. I also want to make sure that people know that you know, Chris is part of the family here. That we have Chris at our live events, at our accelerator events. Chris and I are doing another accelerator. We're going to do a virtual one here in the, I think it's in 45 days or so.
Yeah, June or something.
Yeah, so when we do that, I want every single one of you to get there. I mean, it will be it's going to be happen over a couple days and it's going to be pretty intense and pretty hardcore, but you will come out of there, fucking, you know, mind blown, but it's literally highly tactical, step by step by step, how to go off and do this kind of stuff. And equally kind of, you know, kind of keeping it all in the family. Chris has mentioned this a couple times, but, you know, I've introduced you to Greg Herlin, who we push all of our clients over to for Horizon Trust so that they're in control of their self-directed. Chris has mentioned the same thing. All of this stuff kind of works together, right?
It absolutely does.
I mean, this is, I'm not bringing anybody in front of you that I am not, you know, in business with, have done business with, that is not worth your attention. These are, you don't have to think about this. Chris mentioned it earlier. I know a guy. Well, you guys officially now all know a guy, right? Whether it is Greg Herlin or Chris Noggle, this, you do not have to know everything. You just need to know where to go to start getting, you know, more information and getting stuff like this put together. All right, here we go here. Let me see about the questions. Okay, ready, Chris?
I'm ready, always.
What's the minimum you need to start a policy?
Sure. Take your age. Like, I'm 42, multiply it times 10. So mine would be 420 a month. So you just do your age times 10, and that will give you your minimum guideline monthly. And then some people will say, okay, if that's the minimum, what's the maximum? The maximum is $1 million per year. And I know some people are like, oh, wow, I'd never do that. But believe me, I've had people during this crisis call me and say, I need to put $2 million there, and I can't. $1 million per year is the most you can put into them.
What are the tax implications when you put the money over there?
So, you know, it depends on where the money's coming from. It's after tax money that's going to go into this. Just like you would fund a Roth IRA, this is the same. It's after tax. Every penny that goes into this banking system and all the interest that it earns is potentially tax-free while it's inside the vehicle. So as long as you never lapse the plan or cancel the plan, that money will always, always remain tax-free. And just think of it like your death benefit. Your death benefit's paid out tax-free. So while you use the money while you're living, it's also tax-free. The tax code was written before or after this was invented. So therefore, all the people that had money had their money here. So it's one of the most incredible tax-advantaged plans you can put money into.
Okay. And so, Chris, I'm going to make sure that you go back into this group and that you address some of these very tactical and specific
comments. Yes, I will. I'll answer every single one of them.
And some comments that I want very specifically, like I'm talking about, Laura's asking, how do we implement this? Another one is, how do I start the whole life fund today? You're going to reach right out to Chris, right? Effectively, he will comment in here. He will point you directly in a direct, and he'll get on the phone with you, he and his team, and they will start working with you immediately on this.
Yeah, the only thing I require, and let me just put this out there, before I talk to anybody, there is a video, a webinar video that teaches you everything I just showed. It's about an hour long. You will fall out of your chair when you're done watching this video. It's what I delivered at that event out in Las Vegas, but we basically created a video that will teach you exactly how this works and answers a lot of those questions. After that, and only after that, then we will set up a call and I'll answer every single question you ever have. So I can give that link, you know, I can put it up in the post. It's just an hour long.
Just put it in the post so everybody will go watch that video. I think that would be really, really helpful here.
Perfect.
Okay, so here we go. A couple more questions here. Glenn is asking, are there legal distinctions from a BOLI versus a COLI?
Oh, a BOLI and a COLI? Yep. Basically, the only difference is BOLI means bank-owned life insurance. COLI means company-owned. So not only do banks use this, Fortune 100 and 500 companies, every one of them uses it for the same reason because of exactly what I just showed you. And the nice thing is the corporation knows they can put money into this, and same with the bank. They can put money into this. They can give a benefit to that employee called a deferred comp plus a fully paid life insurance plan. And when that employee passes, okay, graduates, as I like to say, that company or that bank is made whole and then some and then some. This is why the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the JPs, the Morgans will never, ever, ever be able to spend their money, because every time one of them dies, that trust or that family gets a ginormous tax-free death benefit.
Like, I mean, from my standpoint, right? So I have lots of employees. I have executives here. I could literally offer a benefit to my executives, right? And I could go take a policy out on their life, exactly like my employer did for me 25 years ago. And basically, I'm going to carve out this for you as a beneficiary to you, right? The rest as a beneficiary is coming to me as the corporate entity. And then whatever I put into it as the company, I'm immediately able to pull it back out.
Immediately.
And then I'm making, to your point, in some cases, I can make 6.2% on what I just put in there. And my employee thinks it's an amazing benefit to them. And for me, I'm acting like the bank inside of my own company.
Absolutely. It's exactly what you're doing. You're just getting access to money, providing a great benefit for the employees. And then I mean, everything I just said, I mean, there's no, like, people are always trying to poke holes in it. Like, you tried to, everybody does. And I urge you to try to poke holes. You won't find any. It's been around forever.
So as an employer, if I go and provide that benefit and I'm paying an insurance premium, I mean, that's a cost of the company, the organization, right?
It is. Now, if we get into, like, is it tax deductible? Yes, you can do it that way. And I will tell you, it will never work out in your favor.
Let's talk to your tax.
Yes. Talk to your CPA. It's never going to work. It's never going to make sense.
My mind went, I was like, holy shit.
I saw where you were going. I'm trying to bring it really back.
Oh my God, this is an expense of the company. I can potentially write this up. All right. I got it. Okay, here we go. How do you transfer a 401k to a self-directed IRA? This is from Noreen. We will put Greg Herlene. I'll have Chris do it. He'll reply specifically to your comment. But we direct every one of our clients. I know Chris does the exact same thing. We direct them all to Horizon Trust.
100%. It's where my money is.
It's where my money is. This is literally one of my closest friends, as well as with Chris's as well. Could not ask for a better guy. I mean, they manage thousands and thousands of these accounts. There are very specific companies that can do this. He owns one of them. They have hundreds of millions of dollars that they manage for people at this point inside of as a custodian, and they make it really simple for you, right? It's a series of paperwork. You got to jump on the phone with them. You fill out some documents. You sign some things. They will then handle for you getting the money transferred over. Then you can log in and see that all of your money is now sitting in Horizon Trust, and they will go one step further and educate you on what you can and cannot do with that money, right? Which is really important. It's not a free-for-all, so let's be very clear. It is money that there are some restrictions on what you can invest in, and what are some of the arm's length things you can do. You know, you can loan that money. Like, if you were going to loan it to Chris in a private money deal, or you're going to loan it to Kent in a private money deal, if you're going to go put it inside of a real estate fund, if you're going to loan it to somebody else on a house deal, if you were going to go buy a rental property, there's things you can do, or you can even, you know, go invest in gold or crypto or whatever. But there's also some things that you can't do. You can't just loan it to one of your own companies that you're in control of, right? And that's just an example. So
you can loan money to your own company. Yes.
You can do that in an infinite banking policy. In a self-directed IRA, it's a little more regular.
That is correct.
Okay. Here is, can you start a fund for your kids?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So that's a great topic. Oh my God. So I have my first daughter coming literally any day, but by the end of the month, I'll be a father for the first time. And the very first thing I'm going to do is rush out and I'm going to start one of these banking policies, one of the infinite banking concepts for her, to fund her college, to fund her first card, or whatever she wants to use it for. I mean, think of how much money, well, I know how much will be in there, but how much money could potentially be in something if it never, ever, ever stopped earning interest on itself. It's millions, folks. So yes, you can do this on all your children, and you should.
How do you persuade your hard-headed friends stuck in the corporate trap to look into something like this, even as they are losing money? They are resisting alternative options like this. Frustrating, because I want to genuinely help. We talked about this a lot at the beginning, right?
Yeah, basically, we did.
Don't talk to them about a real estate deal. Talk to them about, like, what, you know, Chris had a great suggestion. And I know, by the way, this is covered in your book that we're going to give everybody. But
yeah,
but basically talk to them about the benefit, right? Is, how'd you like to get your car payment paid?
Solve their problem.
From your house, right? Something as easy as that, right? And that could be a great opener.
I got one other thing for that question. It's very important. And if you went and you started telling people about what I just showed you right now, they would say you're crazy. They would say there's no way that's true. That's a scam. That's too good to be true. 100%. So here's what you got to remember. Will Rogers, we all know who he is. He said it best. He said, the biggest problem in America is not what people don't know. The biggest problem in America is what people think they know that just ain't. So the problem with people is they're ignorant, first off, and they're just too stuck in their old ways because that's all they've ever been taught, the backward bicycle. And now you're telling them something they've never heard about. So the first thing they do is retaliate. But you know what? Right now is the time where now we all just hit the reset button. We're on a level playing field. People now need to open their minds. And you know what? Here's the thing. Maybe you can't help them. And maybe that's the reality of what you have to face is some of the people that you know you can help because of what you know, you can't help them because they will never accept help. They think they know what they don't know.
Amen, brother. I couldn't have said it better. Well, look, dude, I want to be respectful of your time. And I want to get, you know, we got a big day ahead of us. This has been awesome. Amazing. Like I said, I could sit here and do this with you all day, which we will do. I would highly encourage you to go follow Chris online. How do they do that, Chris?
Yeah, just go to Chris Naugle, NAUGLE.com, and join me for the movement at MSTV. That's the greatest way you can basically be part of everything I'm doing is MSTV, Money School TV. And that'll be a whole nother world of like just financial freedom for you.
Yeah, one of the best guys you could ever meet, one of the biggest givers I've ever met. I would highly encourage you guys all to engage with him and figure out how to get involved. I would tell you also to pay very close attention when Chris and I do our accelerator here in the next few weeks. It will be something that you don't want to miss. Again, it was that very accelerator when the light bulb went off for me. And I'll just tell you, right, that I do a lot of these all the time, once a month, right? And It's rare that I will actually, when I've got somebody else that's in there speaking, it's hard for me to sit in the room the entire time when everybody else is going. And I never left my seat, right?
You didn't. I'm like, are you gonna sit there the whole time?
I was like, holy shit, are you kidding me? This is the way the real world works. So it's the real deal, guys. And it's no joke. And this guy's not only passionate about it, he's highly, highly educated on it, and he is somebody that can really, really help you, dude. I appreciate you doing this for me today.
I appreciate you giving me the time to help everybody. So thank you, everybody, for your time, and I'm more than happy to help you through these tough times.
All right, brother. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
See you, brother. Peace.
Bye.
Hey, thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten signed up yet with one of our award-winning products, I would invite you to go to reww.com. Check it out. Whether you're looking for advice on entrepreneurship, you're just looking for access to our Real Estate Investing Academy, whether you want to attend one of our upcoming live events, everything you need is right there. Plenty of videos, plenty of free training, plenty of access to software and tools that will help you to become a really successful real estate investor. Again, everything is right on the site at reww.com. You can also check us out at kempclothier.com.